So my very first time getting into sales as almost 21 years ago now, 21 years ago. Yeah. And, you know, walked into a direct to consumer model and was trained on sales. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I like this. I can do this. You know, I don't have to preach to you or your audience. You know, if you're successful in sales, you make a lot of money, you know, industry agnostic, sell something, get paid. So it was fun.
Hey, are you ready? Are you ready for another episode of The Business of Sales? First things first, thank you for listening. I appreciate that you're giving up your time. In return, I want to make sure that we're giving you interesting guests and an idea or two that's going to help you in your business. So, hey, thank you for being here. Allego.com sponsors our show, and it would absolutely mean the world to us if you would go to Allego.com and request a demo. That's called supporting us through our sponsors. And more importantly, you're going to find something on that sales enablement platform that can help you increase sales and the retention of your sales force. A sales enablement platform, it does so much. I think you'll be amazed. Allego.com, check it out. In the meantime, let's roll. Here's this week's episode of The Business of Sales. Down to it, you and I are in sales. I don't care what your business may be on the placard outside your door. I don't care what profession, what your degree is in from college. I can tell you right now, we're all in sales. The best salespeople I've ever met are four-year-olds. I've got one. He's my grandson, and he can sell me and his grandmother on doing anything he wants in a heartbeat. And I tell you what, we're all in sales. If you've got teenagers, you know that you are in sales every single day. As an executive, you're in sales. As a professional salesperson, you're in sales. We all have sales in what we do because we're all trying to influence other people to at least give us a chance and give us an opportunity to share an idea or two. Today, our guest is Anthony Garcia, and Anthony's been training salespeople. He's doing such a great job. He's written books. He speaks on it from the stage. Anthony, thank you so much for being on The Business of Sales today.
Morris, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about how you got into this whole world of sales and training salespeople.
Yeah, you know, it's so my very first time getting into sales as almost 21 years ago now, 21 years ago. Yeah. And, you know, walked into a direct-to-consumer model and was trained on sales. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I like this. I can do this. You know, I don't have to preach to you or your audience. You know, if you're successful in sales, you make a lot of money, you know, industry agnostic, sell something, get paid. So it was fun. Quickly, within that industry, I had the opportunity to start moving into a management position and field training and sales training people. And that was an industry. So I spent 6 years at this organization. The average employment or the average rep tenure for this place was 3 months because it's a high turnover, really challenging sales process. But
wow,
I put 6 years there and went from an individual contributor, managing a team. And then I learned, you know, to train sales reps. I was training, you know, sales reps. I would run training seminars anywhere between 5 and 10 people, up to seminars up to 100, 150 people in the room. And we would train and develop sales reps. So that was kind of how it all started. Fast forward, moved into two corporate gigs. One corporate gig was for a sales company or for a B2B service company that, you know, their claim to fame is they have one of the best sales training programs in the B2B space. Went and worked for that organization. And I believe the sales training was good, but there were some holes in it. So mm-hmm. I went to my manager and said, hey, can I make some modifications to this sales training process? Like the way you're teaching it, I think it's more product centric. It's not really like understanding how people work.
Yeah.
She gave me the green light. Next thing you know, I got moved in management, started training sales reps. Damn. That industry went great. And got recruited to work into the medical space industry. So started working there in surgical implants, spent a couple years as an individual contributor, another Fortune 100 company, same conversation, went back to the training department, my managers, and said, hey, I think as a whole, we don't really have a detailed sales process. Like we're not trained salespeople. Like, I'm right now, my vocabulary and my understanding is that of a medical professional, which is great because that's my consumer. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know how to, like, you've yet to teach me how to sell, and I'm doing this just by hard work and my own knowledge. Do you mind if I make some modifications to my style? I was told, go ahead, do what you need to do. Next thing you know, 3 years running, I was top 1% as an individual contributor. Door came knocking, said, hey, we'd like for you to run a sales team. Sure. If I run a sales team, are you okay if I, you know, kind of implement some strategies and tools on how I train the team? Actually, we'd love for you to spend more time training and helping, you know, on a national scale and helping other teams and helping not only your team, but help other teams. So it was kind of in this lukewarm facilitator. 2 years into it, got a phone call. Hey, are you fluent in Spanish? On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like 7.5, 8. Great. We're launching a new product and service line in Mexico. We need an experienced sales rep that can train sales, that can go to Mexico City and train a sales team.
Wow.
Said, okay, sign me up. Went to Mexico City, trained a sales team, helped launch product there, came back, continued training sales reps in the United States. And a couple of years ago, you know, I made the decision that, I found a calling, that sales training was a skill that many people overlooked. And next thing you know, it became my own business model. And now I train sales reps and small business owners really all over the country, all over the world, on defining their sales process and mastering and excelling in their sales process.
Oh, that's fantastic. I do the same thing, I guess, really and truly, and I love it. It's a wonderful thing, and it is so good to be able to reach out there and do something good that you know is going to help other people improve their lives as well as their business, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're all here to live a good quality life. Everyone has a different definition of what that is. But at the end of the day, if you have a vehicle to give you that quality life, and I personally believe sales is a vehicle, mm-hmm. then I'm going to teach you how to drive that vehicle very well.
There you go. That'll work. It's a profession. It is a noble profession. And it is one that's my soapbox is, boy, howdy, without our professional salespeople, this economy would go to hell in a handbasket worse than it is. It would be it'd be terrible because we wouldn't have anything moving anywhere, shape, form, or fashion. So, Anthony, tell me this. What do you think's the one of the most important things that you teach a sales rep of, I was going to say a new sales professional, but anybody in any point in their career? What do you think's top one or two things that you teach those folks? What's most important?
Oh man, you know, to ask me what's the most important is like, hey, what's your favorite play in the whole playbook? Because there's so many different variations to go with this.
Oh yeah.
But what I can say is this, Morris. I think the most important thing that any sales training program would do, right? And we've all heard it, right? I believe if you can conduct a discovery call with a potential customer in the correct fashion, asking the correct questions and the correct tonality, everything else falls in place. My personal opinion is if we butcher the first interaction, we start the game behind the eight ball. Like we are in such a bad position because now we're playing catch up the rest of the way. Where if we start the discovery call, in a favorable method, in a favorable manner, where there is no tension built in, the line of conversation and questions doesn't sound like it's read off a script, but sounds like a natural mm-hmm. conversation.
Yeah.
Everything else moves pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, it is a conversation. It is not an interrogation. And if you do that well, then you've just learned everything you need to know to be able to help them solve their problem, which is what we do, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have this issue. And, you know, Morris, you shared with me earlier, you've been in this game for such a long time. And I joke with my clients now. I'm like, hey, if I was to teach you how to sell, how I was to taught to sell 21 years ago, you'd laugh at me.
Yeah.
However, there are people who sell that same way, like this high pressure, like hard, always be closing where it's a battle, either you win or I win. That just doesn't work anymore.
No, it didn't work back then either, Anthony. You know, it really didn't.
That I would agree with you.
It really didn't. I mean, everybody hated it. That's where, you know, from the early 1900s, that's where we got the bad perception for sales. Oh, my God, you're in sales. I don't want to talk to you. Well, wait a minute. That's not what we do anymore. If you're a professional salesperson, at least it's not what we do. And that's kind of where all the problem came into play. So, yeah, I mean, we're out there trying to help people solve problems, I think, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, that's all it is, right? If I could solve your problem, you'll find value in me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every salesperson, every small business owner wants to know, hey, how do I charge X amount, or how do I get someone to say yes? And it's really simple. If you can solve my problem, I'm going to pay you. Yeah. Bigger the problem, the more I'm going to pay you. Right. Simple.
Right. Absolutely. And it's a question of making it easy for the prospect to choose a solution, if you will. I keep telling the folks I'm training right now, we just want to make it easy. I don't want to make it difficult for them to say yes, that they want to move ahead and do something. Let's make it easy for them to say that. Let's make it easy, use the right language and the right words to make it easy for them to choose the best option for them and their family or them and their business. It's all about being easy, I think.
I love how you say that, Morris. And I'll share like a confession here, right? You know, it's like a confession of the sales, you know, like the shoemaker's kids that had bad shoes.
Yeah.
So when I first came out on my own, I mean, I had all these like robust packages and service offerings, and I was sitting there and I was striking out, and I'm like, okay, I need to go to the drawing board. Like, what am I doing wrong? And I kid you not, right? It was just like slap me in the face. I'm like, in your own philosophy, your approach, you tell people, right? Confused people don't say yes. I'm like, this packaging, this proposal, these brochures is confusing. Simplified everything. Very, very simple. When you work with me, you have, these are the options. This is how I work. This is how I solve your solution or solve your problem. And what do you know? Business kept growing. It was so simple. But, you know, as entrepreneurs sometimes, and I'm sure you see this with some of the people you work with, sometimes we create our own problems, specifically when it comes to what I want to sell or what I want to charge. And simple is more.
Simple is always more. Simple is it just never fails. It's always more. But it's a problem that we all have. It's that old, what time is it? Well, let me tell you about this watch. This is a Rolex, and let me tell you how Rolexes are made and where they come from. And no, I didn't ask you that. I asked you what time it is. If we can remember to answer the question that's asked and keep it simple, they don't need to know everything we know, Anthony. I may sell watches, but they don't need to know all that I know about how that watch is made. They just need to know that it's best of the options for them to choose. Which one do you want? Which one do you think is going to be best for you on your arm?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, people, when I see sales reps, and this goes, you know, I personally believe sales training isn't a one-time event. I think sales training is an ongoing process of continuous improvement and adaption. And I tell people on a consistent basis, I sell sales training and business consulting for a living. And you know what? I have somebody who analyzes my own sales calls, not because I'm bad, not because I don't know what I'm doing, but because I want that outside perspective to say, hey, here's kind of, you know, let's break down the film. Let's look at it and let's see how we can improve. And when you sit with entrepreneurs and salespeople who've been in sales for quite some time, many feel like I have this skill, like I'm doing well. I learned this many years ago. And you know, when I come and find ways to improve someone's business, improve someone's life, you observe a sales call. And to go back to what you say, what they're selling, I see people, you know, follow a script without listening to what the person says. It's almost like I ask you a question, and there's a script. There's a comedian. His name's Keon Pooley. He's based in Los Angeles. And I know Keon personally because I actually trained him on sales 20 some years ago. And his most pop, and he's a rising comedian, I don't know, 40,000-50,000 followers on social media now. He's opened up for some big names. But his biggest skit, like the viral skit that broke him up, was based on our sales training. It says something, and it's so true. He's like, we teach people how to read these scripts. And so he makes a joke and then goes door to door and he says, hello, sir or madam. It's a beautiful day. Would you like to buy something? Oh, no, don't worry. I have more options. And it talks about how people stick to these scripts. And he makes a joke and it went viral. And I sat one of my last corporate meetings, I sat with an executive who didn't want to collaborate and strategize. And I felt like I watched the skit because he stood to his script. And I'm watching our customer instantly lose interest. And I was like, oh, And I'm the junior in the room. I'm like, okay, do I interject? Do I say something? And I was like, all right, well, this is, yeah. It was like, it's valid that that happens on a consistent basis. People want to hear, want to say what they have to say without listening to what their customer says. And that, definitely can put us in a bad position.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's just, I don't know how to say it any better. It is just wrong. Let's get down to it, Anthony. It's wrong. Don't do that, y'all. It ain't going to work.
Absolutely.
Now, I'll teach you a script. I'll teach you a script that has certain questions that you need to ask, and then you need to respond to those answers. But you need to learn the script to have a place to begin, to a place to start, and then we can start tweaking that thing and make it yours. But you got to have a place to begin when the last thing you sold were Girl Scout cookies. You got to at least have something to start with, right?
I agree. I view this script, and I love sports. I make tons of sports analogies, but you know, I have one of my clients that's never played sports. It's like, I'm learning the analogies from being with you, but bear with me. I view this script in the same fashion that a professional quarterback views the playbook.
Yeah.
Views the playbook. They know everything in that playbook in and out. Like, hey, this is the play we're running. This is what's supposed to happen. Here's what I'm supposed to do. Here's what I'm supposed to call. If the defense, which is your customer, gives you an audible, changes it, it doesn't mean you keep running with it. It just means, okay, well, you responded this way.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with your question, and I'm going to keep this play moving. And I love scripts because it sets the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate scripts at the same time because I think it gives people a false sense of, I don't have to practice.
Well, that's the thing. Like that. You hit the nail on the head. When they think that is all there is to it, that all I have to do is regurgitate some words off a piece of paper or nowadays off the computer, you lost the whole process. You lost the whole thing. You blew it. That's the beginning. That's the starting place. That's where we get up to the line to call the play. I love that analogy, though. It's like the playbook. Because how many times have you seen the quarterback get up there and either, you know, whether he's under center or not, he gets up there and he looks around, he looks at one of his backs and says, no, over on the other side, dude, you're not supposed to be on my right. You're supposed to be on my left, because he knows it down pat. He knows it. Down to the, you're not supposed to be on the right, you're supposed to be on the left. If we know it that well, then we can react to what the prospect asks and what they really need. We can figure out what their real problem is, because 99% of the time, I'm convinced they walk in wanting something, if they walk in, obviously not necessarily, but when we start that conversation, they walk in and they tell you they want something, but in all reality, that's not really what they want. They want to solve this problem over here. They just didn't know how to express it to you until you asked the right questions.
Absolutely. It's, the world of sales, I believe every salesperson at any given point in time should learn to just have conversations when there's no vested interest.
Amen. Like
when I meet salespeople, and this doesn't mean you have to be an extroverted person, because I know some incredibly successful introverted salespeople.
Yes, sir.
But there's a skill. Just have a conversation with somebody. Like I literally, when I travel or I sit next to somebody, and don't get me wrong, there's times where I'm like, oh, I'm tired, I'm not in the mood to chat, so be it. But you know, I'm having a good day, someone sits next to me, let me have a conversation. I have no vested interest in selling something, but I just want to see if I can learn something about you, you can learn something about me, and we have a great conversation. Because that skill applies back to when you're trying to sell something.
Totally. 100%. 100%. It's just, it's incredible that seems to be a problem. And, you know, I agree with you. I have some friends that are total introverts, but the way I define those two things, I heard it one time. I didn't make it up. I don't make up anything. I learned from everybody else. Guy said, you're an introvert when you process information in your head. You're an extrovert when you have to process it outside of your head. Well, have you ever been in a meeting, Anthony, where you're sitting there and you're going through this stuff, and there's this one person over there that doesn't have a whole lot to say, asks a few questions, but then at the end of the meeting, he spouts off this perfect solution, this perfect answer to the entire problem, and tells you exactly how it's going to work. Because he's been sitting there processing it all in his head. There's the other guy, like me, who's standing up at the whiteboard and has filled it up with all sorts of crap because I can't think inside my head. I have to think out in front of my eyes. So I'm an extrovert. He's an introvert. We're still both just as good at what we do. It's just absolutely amazing. I love your point about conversation. It is a conversation, and if it's not a back and forth conversation, I'm never going to figure out what your problem is. And if I can't figure that out, I'm not going to be able to help you.
Yeah, it really is. There's so many analogies. I mean, we're the doctor. Someone's a patient. We just got to figure out what it is. Yeah. And your patient, sometimes they're not going to come out and tell you everything. It's the line of conversations makes them feel comfortable and have that conversation. So, one thing I think is important that we mentioned, Morris, and I mentioned earlier, and I definitely agree with me. I think it's a continuous education program. Like, if you look at any other major profession, right? Physicians, scientists, attorneys, there's this continuing education program that they always have to go back and get these CEUs. As a salesperson, whatever your business is, what widgets you sell, services you sell, homes you sell, software, you should make that self-investment in yourself that I'm going to consistently find ways to improve myself. I look back at the sales methodologies that I've studied over the years, and at least once a year, I'll go back and reread one of the sales methodologies I've learned from many years ago that I'm like, okay. And I reread it because I'm like, hey, did I miss something? Is there something I disagree with? And the further I advance in my own career, which is in this industry, I'm like, oh, there's certain things I agree with, certain things I disagree with, but I love where the data comes from and it keeps me well-versed and it's always sharpening my own tools. So I tell my clients, I'm like, hey guys, go back and reread whatever it is important to you, whatever it is that's going to help you continue to better educate yourself in the skill of sales. Is it human psychology? Is it the ability to tell a joke? Is it ability to answer questions? Like, whatever it may be, let's continuously improve in that space.
It's lifelong learning. I mean, you just can't stop. Jim Blasingame wrote a book about relevancy, and it's the age of the customer. And he says, if you're not relevant, you're up the creek. You got to be relevant to the person who's buying, be it a business representative or be it a customer on the street. You've got to be relevant to their problem and their needs and their situation. And you can't do that if you're hiding in a corner, still using a line of questioning that came out in the 1950s.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you best get yourself out there and go find a good training course and go through it. If it's a book, if it's an audio CD, if it's an online course of some kind, go do something, but spend some time and money developing yourself, because that's really the biggest resource any of us have, isn't it?
I would agree. And those skills, that investment you make in yourself, in my opinion, it always comes back significantly more. And the access to professional and personal development, specifically in the ability to influence and in sales training, is so easily accessible today that there's not an excuse not to do it. And recently, the wife gave me a honeydew and it was to clean out the office. And, I had a bunch of things that I no longer looked at or used anymore. And there happened to be this massive section of CDs that I did not want to part way with because they were Brian Tracy sales training CDs. And I'm like, I can't get rid of these. And she looks at me, she's like, you don't even own a CD player. I'm like, I get it. But this has impacted my life. When's the last time you listened to this? I don't know. Haven't had a CD player for years. I'm sure I have all of it on the digital on my computer and I can get it on YouTube and all these other places. But this is how I started. But that's how it was back in the days, right? You had to have different ways. Like, you had to like genuinely go find the resources. Now you can find the resources within a split second on how to improve yourself.
Oh yeah. No doubt. And I had a big plastic tub full of that same kind of stuff, except I'm older than you are, Anthony. Mine were cassettes. And I actually bought a thing that transcribed or took cassettes and put them onto CDs because I was going to save all those cassettes and put them on CDs. And then suddenly one day I realized, hey, dummy, you can go to Nightingale Conant and get it downloaded on your computer. Same dadgum thing. So I threw it all away. But The fact is, that stuff is still just as relevant today as it was back when Tom Hopkins wrote it, when Brian Tracy wrote it, when Zig Ziglar wrote it, when Og Mandino wrote it, when even back when Norman Vincent Peale and Napoleon Hill and W. Clement Stone, when they wrote this stuff. I love all of that, all that wonderful information, because it is what helped make me who I am today. But isn't it interesting that it seems like every generation has to reinvent the wheel and find those key little pieces of jewels, little pieces of diamonds for themselves?
Yeah, it really is. Like, it really is. And some of those books, I mean, man, some of those books were how I was introduced to this game of sales and sales development. So, and there's something to be said about some of those classic books. And I don't want to, this can be a whole nother tangent, but you read some of the original thought-provoking books, game-changing books by some of the most famous, sales trainers and thought leaders in this space. Then you read some of the new ones from the newer thought leaders. And I'm like, there's a lot of similarities here, guys. Incredibly amount of similarities. Like, to the point where, I would argue, at this point, it's nothing, there's not much that's new versus innovating concepts that work to match the consumer that we're working with, which is why I tell people you have to be consistently improving your sales skills. It terrifies me right now. One thing that terrifies me right now is I speak with entrepreneurs and salespeople that are so set that this is the way I want to sell. And they're kind of putting off some of the newer technologies and newer approaches. And I'm like, look, I got to be honest with you. I have two 14-year-old girls. They have a TV. They never watch it. They don't go to the internet for things. If it's not on TikTok, it's not valid. So got to be honest with you. If you're going to try to sell them something here, it's only a matter of time before some of these advertisers and salespeople that were kind of holding off on this are going to jump on the board. And you know what? How the 14, 15, 16-year-olds make decisions today, we should pay attention, because those are going to be some of your consumers in the next 10 years. Are you prepared to sell to them?
That's right. That's right. And that's where that whole idea of relevance comes into play. It's just amazing. Anthony, tell us real quickly, what do you do? What's your business? And how do I get a hold of you if I'd like for you to come speak to my sales organization or heck, my organization of any kind?
Yeah. Yeah, so my website's Anthony P. Garcia. Anthony Paul Garcia is my full name. That's where you can find me. That I'm under majority of the social media platforms under Anthony Garcia Inc. What do I do? It's a good question. So I construct sales training for businesses and small businesses, specifically in the service-based industry, that are looking to accelerate and enhance their sales. That is my main primary driver of my business model. I do consulting for some small business clients that want to accelerate their beyond their sales process and kind of do a full robust, I call like a business revamp. That's really the two modalities that I get in, is either, companies will hire, retain me for their sales training, or small business owners retain me to revamp their entire process.
I love the way you do it. I've latched onto that myself. I consult with business owners. I don't coach them. I'm not Nick Saban. I am not going to grab you by the face mask and yell in your face. I'm going to consult with you and ask you the right questions so that you can come to the right conclusions and we can move forward together. And I think that's what you do as well. And I love that concept. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, sir.
That's for sure. I think, anyway, that's a big piece of what I do, and I love it that you're out there, and we're in the same trenches, my friend, and that's a wonderful thing to have a friend out there in the trenches with you. Anthony, thank you so much for being on the Business of Sales. We really appreciate you taking the time to be here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
For everybody else out there, y'all, go meet somebody new. You hear me say that all the time, but I'm going to say it again. Go meet somebody new. That's what we're all about. We're all about meeting new people, getting out there and finding somebody else out there with a problem that you can help them solve. Have a great week. I'll see you again next time right here on The Business of Sales.